FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's November 1st, 2017. We survived Halloween and Mischief Night, but will we be able to survive the mischief taking place in the financial system? Well, that is a question to be answered for our next guest, Ned Schmidt. But first, questions, comments, email us at kl@kerrylutz.com. And of course, the Twitter feed, as always, is at Kerry Lutz. And Ned Schmidt is with us now. Ned, your publications, The Value View Gold Report and The Agri-Food Value View, must reading for anybody who is interested in this space. Welcome back, Ned.
Hi, Kerry. How are you doing today?
All good. All good. So we got a new Fed chairman on the way.
It looks like it. President Trump promised to announce who it would be by the time he leaves for Asia. This person is already on the board. Powell is the best guess anybody's got. And he's not going to be material different from Yellen right away. I mean, he might be a year from now, because Yellen turned out to be nothing like Bernanke or Greenspan. But with the board at only 4 of 7 members, and who knows how long it's going to take Congress to approve the other three. Mm-hmm. They're not going to rush to any major changes, and they're more likely to do nothing. And so far, even since last month's announcement, where they said they were going to start unwinding the balance sheet, they haven't done that, Kerry. Every Thursday afternoon, the Federal Reserve releases a bunch of data on its balance sheet and the money supply and the balance sheet of banks. So every Thursday, we get a look at what they did with the bond portfolio. And through that last report, they'd actually increased it $500 million. And the week before that, they bought $12 billion in mortgage-backed bonds. I don't know how buying $12 billion in bonds is unwinding, but maybe I don't understand Federal Reserve policy. That's one policy. Are they going to raise rates in December? I think at a probability over 40% is overreached, because you got these four people that are waiting for three other members. You got a president that's now coming into his second year. I think they're going to be reluctant to change anything until they get those new members on board.
Mm-hmm.
That expectation of unwinding and the December balance interest rate increase is what has fueled the dollar rally for the last 2 months. Dollar has moved very strong against some currencies, and that rally is starting to run out. Currency traders, the real ones that work for big banks, they don't have an attention span longer than 2 months. If something works for 2 months, they start looking for something else to do. So now they've probably run that as far as they could, and that my dollar index peaked out last week when gold hit on Friday 1263. And I had told my readers that we would get buy signal on Friday. And so I think we've now passed that expectation of the Fed's going to be selling bonds by the billions every day and going to be raising rates like crazy. And you add the fantasy that's going on in the stock market. I mean, Kerry, the secret to wealth has been revealed.
Yeah.
I mean, we borrow all the money we can on our house and our kids and whatever, and we go buy the Fantasy Five technology stocks, and then in December, we're going to buy call options on Bitcoins.
Mm.
I mean, you got to be in the fantasies.
What could go wrong?
Well, as far as I can tell, the street's telling us nothing. There was one insightful guy this week. I don't know how he got on CNBC. It must have been a mistake. He was comparing what's going on now with the Bitcoin, the klepto. Well, you call them cryptocurrencies, right, Kerry?
Yeah, well, Bitcoin is the exception, but all the other ones are pretty much kleptos, maybe Litecoin. But yeah, there's problems here. There's definitely problems.
Well, he was comparing the introduction of the derivative market, we're going to have futures and options on futures in, I guess, December is what they're talking on the Bitcoin. So now when that, when those hit, you'll now be able to buy Bitcoins on 5% margin because that's the, that's about what you need for a futures trade. He's comparing it to the synthetic CDOs of 2007. For those listening, CDO is a collateralized debt obligation. And when they were born, they were a standard, decent product. People took bonds, real bonds of real companies, and used them as collateral for a debt issue. Well, that got to be a problem because you had to find these bonds. So what they created was synthetic bonds. So I didn't really have to go buy AT&T bonds to make a collateralized debt obligation. I would say that it would be backed by a synthetic AT&T bond, which is an imaginary bond that looks like one they have. And so what you have is imaginary collateral for this, those CDOs. But it's what we got with the cryptocurrencies. We have imaginary value. It's going to be used to, for futures and ETFs and whatever. In other words, there's nothing there but an imagination. And so in my view, it probably is. I mean, there, I had to look it up for my latest letter, and there's more than 1,100 cryptocurrencies.
I think there's over 2,000 now, but it's impossible to know.
There's 120 hedge funds that claim to be cryptocurrency experts, and people are giving them money.
See, it's got a nice ring to it, cryptocurrency, doesn't it?
How can you charge people a fee to put their money in something that's imaginary? I'm kind of like the TV commercial I keep seeing, Carrie. If you can't hold it, do you really own it?
Yeah, I think that's a gold that's a gold commercial for that guy Jim Devaney. For I don't know that they're not a sponsor, so I'm not going to mention their name. I don't think I would be encouraging people to buy from them anyway.
No, we don't play free commercials.
No, why would you do such a thing, right?
Right. Now, and we're not even talking about the insurance value of it. I mean, we've got a 2-week window here where nothing's going to happen in Korea of any importance, and the tax plan is going to be wonderful. We're all going to be rich from not paying taxes.
I can't wait for that.
I'm sorry, Gary.
I can't wait for that. When is that happening?
Well, they're going to. But you rich guys are going to have to pay extra taxes. I'm sorry, Gary.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, I'm not one of the rich, so I don't have to worry about that. Right?
Yeah, that's right. You know. If my divorce, maybe I never had to worry about taxes again in my life.
you and me both, kid. Right? I mean, but that's it.
Yeah, and of course, silver has been hurt the most by this cryptocurrency nonsense. And when not if this phony currency thing blows up, we're going to see a lot of money come back into silver.
Right.
And so the potential boost out of this Bitcoin mania for silver is extremely big. I mean, if you want to bet against Bitcoins, there's only one bet against Bitcoins that's any good, and that's silver.
Right.
Maybe. Now, I want to separate here just for a second, Carrie, the cryptocurrencies from the blockchain technology. Blockchain technology may or may not be viable on a large scale. It's a bookkeeping technique.
Right.
And it is technology. But don't buy a cryptocurrency because you're fascinated with blockchain. Go find a company that does blockchains. And there are alternatives in the world to blockchain that are already being used in international transactions.
Got it.
What they call the distributed ledger. A leader in that is a small company in London called Earthport. That has distributed ledger products. So those are actually two different things, Carrie, and people need to separate them in the decision.
Okay. All right. I like that, though. Yeah, well, that's what it is. The blockchain is really a ledger, and it's a ledger that's replicated on zillions of computers all over the place, not so much centrally held, and then it's updated real time, and that's why it's so powerful, because it means full transparency and really means that openness, that nobody can lie, or it's very difficult to lie, put it that way. With the algorithm, all but impossible to lie. So, you know, that's where the power is in the blockchain.
That's a bookkeeping aspect. That's not, right. I mean, just because IBM has good bookkeepers doesn't mean you should go buy the stock. That's not a reason to
You don't think? You don't think? But they got good accounting. Well, actually, they don't, because their top line revenues has been going down for 7-8 years, at least since the crash, right?
I think they said 28 quarters, but I don't know why that number's popping.
Yeah, that's
in my head.
7 years. I think you're right. China won't touch them now. They don't want to know about IBM. And that was their big growth market. So I don't know where it goes from there. But the concept of being able to, you know, just think about it in the stock market. If every trade was in the blockchain, think about that, how effective that would be, right? I mean, that would be a good thing.
Yeah, and the thing is, people are so in love with technology. This mm-hmm. technology. One company is Overstock.com, who I've never bought anything from.
Oh, they're
a great company.
This company
sells surplus lines from companies. It's a discount store on a computer.
Oh, well, they basically get everything from China. All of their stuff is Chinese. A lot of it's crap, but a lot of it is good-looking crap. And, they've done extremely well, because overstock means not so much that they're getting other companies overstocks, but that they're actually got everything. They're overstocked. They have every product you could ever imagine, right? I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Well, they're going to try and convert this company into the blockchain leader of the world. This company has visions of converting all the stock market trades to their blockchain and trading it on their platform. And why I mention that is because this is what you see when the craziness gets crazy. It's companies in mundane businesses thinking they're going to suddenly take over the world with their technology and their computers. Maybe.
I don't think they even think that. I think it's what sells the stock.
Runs that company, he's a believer. Oh, he's an evangelist.
I know, but
they're going to take over the entire stock exchanges in the world with their platform.
Yeah, don't you love it?
I love it.
Yeah,
that's what makes gold has performed so well for 17 years.
Hey, well, let me tell you a little story. When I first, the first thing I ever invested in on the stock market was back in the 70s when solar power was going to take over the world. Right. And there were stocks. They did nothing. They did nothing in solar power. That was just the name of their company. And, you know, that's how they got you. Oh, well, solar power, you know where that's heading, right? Solar power is going to be amazing. Right. And, you'll charge your we didn't have Teslas then, but you'll be charging your electric car. You know, you won't even be tapped into the grid. Why would you want to be in the grid? That would be crazy. Right? Who wants to be in the grid?
You were just ahead of your time, Terry.
I was a sucker ahead of my time, Ned. I was a total sucker.
We've all been there, Terry.
It went down to zero.
Stupid in our lives. But
it went down to zero, like most of my stock picks. So, you know, been there, done that, got the T-shirt, and so are you telling me that maybe it's a good time to short Overstock.com?
Oh, probably first of the year. They're going to hype this story through Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, is there any limit? Is there ever any limit to this, Ned, to what?
Well, sure. Yeah. We just don't. There's always, every fantasy has a limit.
Yeah.
You just never know when it's going to mm-hmm. be the day that the fantasy stops. And that's a risk investor takes in this kind of stuff, is that you don't know when it's going to end. There are no fundamentals to analyze.
Right.
I don't know what a cryptocurrency analyst does all day. There are no fundamentals to analyze.
Right.
I don't know what a cryptocurrency analyst does all day. There are no fundamentals. I mean, every company we talk about has doing something, at least gives us something to talk about. But there are no fundamentals to their cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
It's total imagination. I mean, it makes the Easter Bunny look like a good meal.
Wait, this stuff is worth $100 billion now. The Bitcoin, Ned. I mean, that's a lot of money. You're not telling me that there's safety in numbers?
but you can go back every cycle and find something that was similar. And the current cryptocurrencies are a logical extension of the technology theology that now controls the investment world.
Mm-hmm.
And so you run out of things to say about a silly watch. And contrary to what CNBC said this morning, Apple is getting its clock cleaned in China, and an $1,100 phone is not the cure.
Oh, you're sure about that? I think when in doubt, raise your prices to where nobody can afford it. Isn't that right?
That's right.
That's what right. I would do.
But there are fundamentals to Apple. There are fundamentals to Amazon. There are no fundamentals. I don't know what a crypto analyst does all day, like I said.
Yeah, that's like somebody. I'm a meditation analyst. You know, I analyze meditation. It's kind of the same thing, right? What do you do?
Well, speaking of the real world before we run out of time, Kerry, do you want a few comments on ag?
Oh, yeah. We always want your comments on ag because you're always spot on in what's happening. How come so few people cover ag? I mean, don't we all kind of still need to eat, like the whole planet? At least two meals a day times 7 billion people. I mean, we talk about oil being the biggest market, but food is kind of the most essential, right?
It is. We can live without oil, but we can't live without wheat.
No.
But so we don't run out of time. There's two companies I want to name, and then I'll talk about the fundamentals. One is a company that reported today. The symbol is WFCF, Where Food Comes From.
Oh,
it was
a
good quarter.
Name?
And I will say I own it. I have a tiny position in it.
That's a great name.
Money.
If nothing else, that is a great name. You got it.
It is. And that's what they do. They are a verifier and an auditor. When you buy a pack of meat in the grocery store and it says non-GMO, non-organic, these are the people that verify that that meat is non-GMO and was raised organic.
Can you trust them? I mean, you can't trust any of that stuff because who the heck knows? It's the biggest scam on the planet. And even then, you don't know if GMO, non-GMO, or organic stuff is really any better for you than eating a McDonald's Big Mac with fries.
Well, we're not saying that it's better.
Okay.
All we're saying there are is consumers that want that.
Well, I
and
want
Where
it.
Food comes from is the one that verifies.
I love it.
Where the calf was born, where it was raised, and how it was raised. Now, where this is really getting big is when Trump opened up the Chinese beef market after he met with President Xi early in the year.
Right.
For the first time in 13, 14 years, we're shipping beef to China. The Chinese requirement is that this beef be verified, where it was born, where it was raised, and where it was processed. So that when it goes to the Chinese consumer, it has certification on it that it meets those standards.
I still don't trust them. I still don't trust them. But if it's good for the Chinese, it's got to be good for you and me, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying it's good. Nobody's saying it's good or bad. They're just saying that this is what consumers want. Yeah. And so this is the company that makes sure. If you go into some of the big steakhouses, like in New York City,
right,
they have that little, what is it, a QR code?
A QRC
on their
code.
Menu.
Yeah, QRC, right. Yeah.
You take your phone and you put it on the code on the menu, and it'll tell you where your steak was born, where it was raised.
Do you have pictures, too? Do you have pictures of the calf and then the cow getting jolted and killed and then butchered?
Yeah. But in any event, all God. The beef that goes to China has to be verified. And they do other things. Like, one, if you buy flowers for somebody,
mm-hmm.
it'll be certified American-grown flowers. They're the guys that certify them as American-grown.
Oh.
If you go in a pet store and buy a puppy, and the puppy has been certified to be raised happily mm-hmm. and healthily, these are the people who verify it. So it's an interesting stock. The other one is Bunge, BG, who actually is a fairly mediocre company run by mediocre management, except that Glencore took a look at them early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And they have several months ago, signed a standstill agreement with Bunge. So Glencore has a standstill agreement with Bunge, which means Glencore won't make an offer while they talk to Bunge about what happens to management. How many of them are still going to have jobs?
Yeah, how much they're getting paid to leave peacefully, right?
Right. And so there is this possibility. And it's very difficult to assign a probability. But it makes sense for Glencore to buy Bunge and fold it into its agricultural subsidiary. So we'll mm-hmm. see what happens. That's another one to look at.
Yeah.
But what we're seeing is some short-term issues in the ag markets. At the same time, the outlook keeps getting better by the day. What's going on right now is we have big crops in the United States, and we have big crops in Brazil.
Right.
Which is having an influence on grains. Now, we really have two markets, meat markets and grain markets. The meats are up 30-some percent from their lows. The grain markets are up 13%. So meat is coming on strong, and it looks like that last October might have been the lifetime lows for meat prices.
You were saying, yeah.
If you ate a steak last October, that was the cheapest steak you're ever going to eat in your life. The same with bacon. And so that's where we are. Now, what's going on is the Mississippi River, we actually have three rivers we use, the Missouri, the Mississippi, and the Ohio. The Mississippi River had low water because there was not enough rain early in the year. So the barges coming out of the upper Midwest have only been half full because of that low water.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we had a lock and dam problem on the Ohio River. We had a lock and dam that was built in 1928 that finally is falling apart. So no grains were coming down the Ohio River.
Mm.
So what the elevators were doing is shipping soybeans. They shipped all the soybeans they could because it's more profitable,
mm-hmm.
which meant the elevator was filled with corn, and they won't buy any from the farmers. So upper Midwest corn prices are abysmal, $3 and a dime or something like that, which means if the farmer can't sell his corn to the elevator, there's no point in taking it out of the field because he can't sell it. So we've still got 40% of the corn crop in the field. That number should be like 20%. So we've got twice as much corn that's not been harvested.
Oh, my goodness.
So that is currently depressing grains, but it's a self-fixing problem.
Yeah, what are we going to do, Ned, about ethanol? We got all that corn. It can be turned into ethanol so taco prices can go up.
Ethanol production, well, it has some seasonality because of the driving season.
Right.
But we've been producing over 1 million barrels a day of ethanol for some time. And I think this summer they got to like a million two barrels a day.
Oh, my goodness.
But ethanol and corn is getting ready for a giant leap. China, in the gas mix in China, ethanol is about 2%.
And they're going
to. And China wants that to go over 10% and maybe to 20% because of their air pollution.
Yeah.
We're going to see a massive amount of corn go into the Chinese ethanol market over the next 10 years.
That's amazing.
It'll boggle your mind how much ethanol China could use.
That's incredible.
1.2 billion people driving cars, and they're going to have 10% of their gasoline in ethanol.
Yeah, but they're going to all be driving Teslas, though, I thought. I thought the national car of China was made the Tesla so that it would just run on electricity and nobody has to worry about gas.
Well, I think somebody's been smoking that funny cigarette in Colorado.
Hey, I got to quit.
I mean, how many people in China actually have an outside electric outlet?
They don't have garages. I mean, they got a place to lock their bicycle up, basically. I don't know where they park their cars. I keep trying to figure that one out, but they'd probably stack them up somewhere. But look, hey, I want to go back to metals. I don't know if you've been following palladium and platinum lately. But palladium is way, way above the price of platinum, and it's not as good a catalyst as platinum. There's something mysterious going on there, Ned.
I think it has a big fan base. For some reason, palladium, I don't follow it. Mm-hmm. To me, it's an industrial metal. And
right.
It has good sponsorship. It's like the lithium craze now,
uh-huh.
which is going to fizzle as big as anything ever fizzled.
Well, it's the black gold of the 21st century, lithium, right?
Well, at least the first quarter.
Yeah, right.
The battery is not the solution to cars, because you reach a point where the mile driven gain is exceeded by the weight gain.
Right.
And so batteries are never a solution. So it's a power source. Whoever invents a legitimate power source, like a fuel cell,
right,
is going to win the automobile race. And lithium, nobody will remember.
Or the ultra capacitors. Those seem to have been the best, most promising thing. But I haven't heard about ultra capacitors in, I'll bet you, 10 years, Ned.
I haven't thought of them in a long time. I don't remember the last time I read anything about them.
Nothing.
But I'm saying that's where the ultimate solution is in a power source, so that you're not dragging around batteries equal to half the size of your car. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we have to do something on ultra capacitors, because that's been like, all we talk about is lithium, 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 but it's really the ultra capacitor that can store the charge indefinitely and hold it. You know, the battery gets charged, but it's generating the electricity through a electrochemical reaction. But, you know, the ultra capacitor just sucks the current off the grid and stores it till you need it, and it doesn't lose it. Yeah, I don't know. It's been a quiet. Yeah, I mean, there's an article from the UK Express, you know, the London Express about it, and you charge them up instantly too, Ned. There's none of this nonsense of, I think I'll take an hour break and wait for my Tesla battery to get recharged so I can go another 150 miles, because you know they don't tell the truth about the range, right? You don't have that. But anyway, I digress. So yeah, platinum, palladium markets are skewed. There's an opportunity for an arbitrage there, I'm convinced, of selling palladium and buying platinum, but that's kind of beyond my meager tools as an investor. But I see the opportunity. And probably the same with lithium, is selling lithium and buying oil, right?
That's a possibility. I don't know if I'd want to do it, but that's a theoretical possibility.
Yeah, it sounds like they'd be good arbitrages. Anyway, Ned, we got to go, but just tell us again where we find you.
At the ValueViewGoldReport.com and AgriFoodValueView.com. And if you say you want to Carrie's listeners, I'll give you a 90-day free trial.
Yeah, you can't do better than that. Yet another benefit, another reason to be listening to Financial Survival Network. Make sure you go to the site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, and our Twitter feed's at Carrie Lutz. Our Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Ned, it's always fun, always interesting, always enlightening. We'll talk to you again real soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Carrie. Take care.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.